Good morning. Thank you for joining us live here from Flint River. Because of the coronavirus outbreak, we're taking everything online, and we've canceled all of our activities for this week. Things are changing so much every day. We're going to reevaluate on Friday, and then we will keep you updated with our plans for next Sunday and the following week. Because of our national emergency, our president has declared today a national day of prayer, which is a little bit unusual because the majority of our churches aren't even meeting today. But I'd like for us to start with prayer. And just wherever you are, if you're able to, I want you to just bow your head and let's pray together and pray about this situation that we're going through. Let me start with a quote that Billy Graham said. He said, "To get nations back on their feet, we must first get down on our knees." And I want us to do that this morning. Will you just pray together with me this morning? Father, we thank you, Lord, that even though our doors are shut, we're able to share our worship, Lord, across our community and across the streaming line. Father, we thank you for how you've blessed our country. And now we pray, God, that you would protect us from the further outbreak of the virus. Lord, so many have been infected, and Lord, they're saying that upwards of possibly even 150 million Americans could come down with the virus before it's all finished running its course. And Lord, we just pray. God, we pray for the cases that have already been confirmed. I think there were 6,000 when we looked this morning. And God, I pray for healing for each one of those. Lord, I pray a protection around the seniors here in our church family. Lord, the ones that are the most susceptible to this. And God, that you would just shield them from exposure and that you would just guard them with good health. Lord, there's so many that are going to be impacted by the different shutdowns from work. And Lord, it's going to impact people financially. And God, we just pray that you would continue to meet all our needs, that you would be faithful as we're faithful. Father, I pray for our president and our leaders and our state and local governments, God, that you would give them wisdom as they make hard decisions. Father, that Lord, that we could just get politics out of the way. Our country has gotten so divided, and Lord, I pray that you would use this. One of the positives that would come from this would be bringing our country back together again. Lord, we love you. God, we pray that this would help our country focus our eyes on you. God, we pray that, Lord, we can once again put you first in our country and in our lives. Lord, we love you and we thank you today. Thank you that we can worship together like this. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, this has been an unusual week. We're going to put on hold our series that we're in the middle of. We've been talking about marriage and relationships. And with everything that is going on in our world and our nation and even our local area here, we're going to put that on hold for a couple of weeks. And let's talk about what we're in the middle of. You've heard words this week, some maybe for the first time. You've seen things in New York. There were restrictive areas. You've seen whole countries go on lockdown, like Italy, and now others have followed their cue. You've heard words like pandemic, and that's created such a fear and a panic in our community. And Lord, there's just so much going on. We're a sports-oriented society and even almost worship sports at times, but all of a sudden now all of our teams from local to professional have canceled seasons, and they've delayed things. What an impact this has had. Everything is changing so much. Our colleges and universities, some of them have prolonged spring break. Some of them have said for the students not even to come back after spring break. They've suspended classes for the rest of this semester. And even here in Madison County, our local schools are prepared to be out for the next 2.5 weeks, just trying to limit exposure. And like I mentioned in my prayer, there was a news flash on Fox News night before last One of the experts was talking that they're predicting upwards of 150 million Americans could be affected by this virus before it's all said and done. And that's created a lot of anxiety in people, a lot of fear. And if you don't believe that, all you have to do is go to your local grocery store or Walmart, and it's empty. People are buying things and stockpiling, and boy, there's such an angst right now. And I began to hear this phrase this week a couple of nights ago, and then the more you listen for it, the more that you hear it. This one gentleman made the comment after a news broadcast. He said, things are beginning to get desperate. And I started thinking, wow, desperate. Boy, that's a level that we don't usually communicate with. It's a concept that we're familiar with, but it's not a concept that we've really related to in any of our lives. I don't know. We're so convenient. We're so comfortable. We've been so blessed. We've got everything we need. We've got just about everything we even want. I don't know that we could say that we're desperate for anything. But I wonder if this virus has created that in people. I want to take that concept of desperateness, being desperate this morning, and take that to a little bit different level and talk about being desperate for God. On a spiritual level, do you feel like that your life represents a need, a desire, a craving in your heart, a desperateness to be everything that God wants you to be? See, I think even in our church, even in our walk with God, we've gotten as comfortable and convenient as we have in our lives. And it's gone. What happened to that desperateness to be so close to the Lord Jesus Christ, to be intimate and passionate in our personal relationship with Him? It's gotten so casual. We cater to convenience more than a desperateness. We get up in the mornings and grab our Pop-Tart and run out of the door, headed to work or headed to school, headed to an appointment, and no longer is there that craving, that desperateness to get alone with the Lord, to get our Bible and to hear a word from Him before we leave the house. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And that's okay with us. And what happened to that sense of desperation for Him that maybe we once had in our lives? Where's that sense of desperation for God to use me? For God using me, it's almost looked at as an extra credit or like brownie points in my walk with God. It's very optional. It's a voluntary thing. If I want to get involved, if I want Him to use me, that's okay. And if I really don't, if I'm too busy, I don't have the time, then, well, we just think God understands and we go on with life. And where's that desperateness to be everything that He created me to be? He designed us. He created us with a special purpose in mind. He wants to use us. He wants to make us more like Himself, just like Jesus. And somewhere along the line in our lives, we've lost that. And I'm not sure at what point that left. I'm not really sure where it's gone. But I know when you look inside most of our churches today, it's not there. You don't see it. You know, that it's so different, though. That's not the gospel that Jesus taught. From the very beginning, Jesus taught a gospel of total surrender. He taught a gospel of saying, God, I give You my life. You know, it was not a gospel of convenience. He used the word surrender. Lord, I want to surrender my life to You, but somehow in today's culture, in today's world, and even especially in today's church, that whole concept of surrender has kind of morphed into the thought of, oh, Steve, that was 2,000 years ago. Things have changed. It's not like that today. Oh, okay. Well, when did that change? When did Jesus change His gospel for me or for you? He shared a gospel that offered forgiveness, that offered us salvation, but that included His expectations on us to be everything that He wanted us to be, for us to live a godly lifestyle. But there again, somewhere along the line, things changed and we've turned into just such good moral people. We're moralists. Are you familiar with that term? Where we want to be good parents and good workers and good students, and we've got some sense of morality. And so we're just nice people, and in our minds, that's good enough. We no longer have to be godly. Good will do. And gone is that sense of desperation to be everything that God wants us to be. Where did it go? At what point did we sacrifice our desperation in our spiritual walk with the Lord? We've substituted desperation for convenience. And then we've allowed convenience to become the normal for our life, so that desperation now looks weird. You see that in somebody and you wonder what's wrong. You think, gosh, I don't really think I want to be like them. I'd rather just fit in with the crowd. I'd rather blend in. I just want to be normal like everybody else and just live a good moral life. But that's not the gospel. That's not being desperate. And when you hear the word desperate used today in association with our health epidemic here, pandemic that's going along, I hope that spurs you to think about more than health, but let's take it to a spiritual level. Well, I want us to look at a passage of Scripture today in Mark chapter 16. Let me give you just a little bit of background before we read a couple of verses here. Jesus has been telling His disciples for a while now that He's got to go to Jerusalem and He's got to suffer at the hands of the religious leaders, and that He's going to be crucified and that He is going to raise from the dead. And as many times as He's told them and taught them, they hadn't got it. They don't understand. That's not the concept of a Messiah that they've always had. See, they understood a Messiah as bringing freedom, but for them, they saw it as freedom from the bondage of Rome. And Jesus came to be that freedom bringer, to be that Messiah, but not to set us free from Rome, to set us free from sin. But that never connected with the disciples. And it just totally, nobody had ever died and been raised from the dead, never to die again. And that was just so contrary to anything that they had ever heard, ever been taught, ever dreamed of, that seemed absolutely radical to them. And they just could not understand. And Jesus, over and over, He just kept reiterating His purpose in coming. I'm coming to pay the penalty for your sin. I'm coming to offer you forgiveness. I'm coming to make salvation and a personal relationship with Almighty God available to you. And even His closest followers, they never connected with that. They never got that. In chapter 16 of Matthew, let's begin reading in verse 21. And I want to just kind of build up to verse 24 is where we will spend the most of our time today. But verse 21 says this: "From that time on, Jesus began to explain to His disciples that He must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that He must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." And they never understood that this has been planned from eternity. This was His whole reason for coming to earth. He had planned this from eternity, the crucifixion, the resurrection, the forgiveness of sin. And the prophets of the Old Testament, they spoke about it, they wrote about it. And now He had come to fulfill all these prophecies. And they still just, they didn't get it. But he's explaining to them, look, it says he must go to Jerusalem. It's not an option. It's not just the next thing on their tour, if you would. But this is why he came. I've got to go because I've got to fulfill the prophecy that was spoken. Verse 22, Peter took him aside, good old Peter, and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. And when he said those words, never, and the words took him aside, those are words that are written with a lot of force. Peter was trying to really get his point across. I'm not going to let you die. I'm not letting you go to the cross. Peter didn't understand that the cross is why he came. Oh, look in verse 23. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Wow, called him Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. Peter wanted Jesus to have all the power of the Messiah, but he wanted him to do that without having to go to the cross. It's basically the same thing that Satan was offering Jesus when he, if you remember back in the beginning of his ministry, when he tempted Jesus and he was tempting him, if you'll just bow down and worship me, I'll give you all the power. I'll give you the kingdoms of the world and you don't have to go to the cross. Wow. So Jesus recognized that. And so he's kind of drawing a line in the sand with verse 24 that we're about to read. He had a lot of followers, and some of them were truly sold out. Some of them were true followers with all their heart. But, you know, nothing's different than today. For a lot of people that were following him, talk was cheap. And maybe it was just a thing that they did because their friends were there or whatever the situation. So Jesus took verse 24 and kind of drew a line in the sand. And he said, let me talk to you about being desperate. Let me draw three illustrations. We'll ask them in the form of questions this morning. Let me give you three questions and help you understand, help you evaluate your life, your walk, where you are with the Lord, and find out just how desperate for me you really are. Wow. As we talk now, as we get into this verse 24, I want you to ask yourself these questions. I want this to be a real time of introspection for you. How long has it been since you've been that desperate for God? You've not been casual. It's not been a convenient situation, relationship for you, but there's been that element of desperateness. And I really want to ask, I'm almost positive there's many that are watching right now that have never gotten to that place. And today I want you to consider, boy, would this be the day where Jesus would call you to surrender your life to him? Well, let's look at verse 24. He had built up, here's his three lines in the sand, if you will. Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must, number one, deny himself. Number two, take up his cross. And number three, follow me. So let me give you three questions this morning. Let me help you piece this together and walk through what he's saying. Here's my first question. Are you willing to die to yourself this morning? Are you willing to die to yourself? He said, let him deny himself. See, we like to turn that around. Self-denial is radically different than denying self. Self-denial is when you refuse something, when you give up something that you enjoy, that you like, that you want, you give that up for a period of time. That's self-denial. But Jesus is calling people to come to him for salvation, and they are to deny self. When I deny myself, he's saying, I'm looking for total surrender. I'm looking for you to give me your life. I'm looking for you to give me your thoughts, your wants, your desires, your goals, your values, your relationships, your plans. I want you to give me every area of your life. That's what denying yourself is all about. And when you give those to Christ, you're saying, Jesus, I want you to be in total control of all these areas. God, I give you my life. I don't want it anymore. I want to give it to you. I want you to take my life and I want you to change me. God, I want you to make my life your life. I want you to use me so that my life reflects you. God, I want to serve you. I want to love you with all my heart for the rest of my life. It's all about total surrender. Now, we're talking about desperation. Watch me. Total surrender produces desperation. And maybe this morning as you look at your life, as you evaluate where you are in your walk with Christ, if that element of desperation is gone, or maybe if you are honest and you find that it's never been there, maybe the real issue is you've never totally surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that your issue this morning? How desperate are you to know God more intimately, more passionately? How desperate are you for Him to use you? How desperate are you to be everything that God's called you to be? Well, desperation is a result of total surrender. What do you need Jesus to change in your life this morning? What is it that you maybe have at one time maybe surrendered to Him, but over time have kind of taken back over, and you want to make the decisions and you want to make the call, the plans and the choices, and God's saying, you know what? I need you to come back to that point of total surrender. I need you to be desperate for me. Look at the second question that Jesus asked in this verse to His disciples. He said, if you're going to come after me, you've got to deny yourself. You've got to be willing to die to yourself. And the second thing is, He says, take up your cross. Here's the question. Are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to pay the price that Jesus said salvation will cost us? Boy, when He said the word cross, He instantly connected with everybody. Everybody knew about crucifixion. Everybody had seen hundreds, if not thousands, of people crucified. It was almost a daily thing. It was horrible. It was brutal. It was the bloodiest, most painful, excruciating form of death that was invented at that point in time. And it struck fear in the hearts of people. That's why the Romans would crucify people along the side of the road at main intersections. They wanted the Jews to see people suffer so that they would not dare go against the Roman government and their wishes. They wanted the Jews to be afraid of the Romans because of crucifixion. And when Jesus said, now, if you really want to follow me, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you total surrender, because that's what crucifixion was. Crucifixion, you were totally at the will and the power of the Romans, and they literally tore your body to pieces. They wanted you to die the slowest, most painful, most excruciating, the most shameful death that you possibly could. And when Jesus spoke those words, take up your cross, He was painting another illustration of total surrender. Because what does total surrender produce? Desperation. See, it all comes back to that concept. But somewhere we come back to this whole concept of our gospel. Somewhere the gospel in our world, maybe in our lifetime, in our culture, it's changed. And no longer do we don't want to totally surrender. We don't want to be desperate. We're very content to be comfortable, and we want all the benefits that Jesus came to provide for His children. but we don't want to pay any of the price. See, we want to be able to go to heaven when we die. We want Him to bless our lives. We want Him to provide what we need, but we don't want to have to give Him total control of our life. We want all the benefits without having to pay the price. And that's not the gospel that Jesus taught. Jesus' gospel was all about total surrender. It was all about people being desperate for Him. I keep coming back to that because that's the word of the day. How desperate are we for the Lord Jesus Christ? What the gospel, Jesus' gospel that He taught was not free. Cost you your very life, cost you everything. It demanded everything from you. And it produced a desperateness inside of us. Could it be, maybe that we're wanting all the blessings, but we're not willing to deal with God on His expectations for us. We're just along for the ride. We'd never admit that. Gosh, we would never even entertain that thought publicly. But when you look at our lives, could that possibly be what drives our walk with Christ? Where is that desperateness in the church today? Where's that desperateness in your life and in your personal walk with the Lord? Look at the third question that Jesus asked these disciples. He said, first of all, you've got to deny yourself. Second of all, you've got to take up your cross. And then He said, you've got to follow Me. So here's my last question to you. Are you willing to follow Jesus? Well, it sounds like such a simple question and such a surface answer. Sure I am. But when you really begin to examine what all that entails, are we really willing to follow Jesus? Are we one of those believers that prayed a prayer, invited Jesus into our heart, and somehow expect Him to follow us? Maybe the question is better put like this. In your walk, in your life, in your spiritual walk with the Lord, who's following who? Because you see, it seems like today we make all our choices and decisions. We make our plans and, oh, well, let's don't forget, let's pray and ask God to bless our plans. It's almost like, okay, here's what I'm going to do. Here's where our family is going to go. Jesus, I need You to follow us. You just bless what we've planned and what we've chosen. And that's not the gospel that Jesus taught. Somewhere, the gospel changed. Who's following who? You know, we take that same concept and we even make our choices, our decisions, and then after we've already decided, we pray for God to guide us. And it's almost like, have we not gotten that backwards? We've made the decision and asked Jesus to follow us rather than, God, if You would give me the guidance, my heart is dying to follow You. Who's following who? Well, I think that's a reflection of desperateness. If I'm not desperate for God, I'm very content for Him to follow me. But if there's that element of, God, I need You. God, I've got to have You. I don't know how I'll walk with You today if I haven't spent time with You. I don't know how I can be a good father, a good leader, a good single mom. I don't know how I can function today without hearing a personal word from You. God, I'm desperate for You. His gospel was all about total surrender. His gospel was all about, God, I want You to give me Your life. I want to change your life. I want to make You like me. I want to forgive Your sins. I want to make You one of My children. I want to give You peace and I want to give You purpose. I want to use You in an incredible way to reach other people. I want You to love me and serve me for the rest of your life. But somewhere, somebody, somehow, changed that gospel from a gospel of desperateness and a gospel of surrender to a gospel of convenience. How desperate are you today? How desperate are you to be everything that God's called you to be? Have you come to the place where you've given Him your life? See, I think when a person fully understands that I'm separated from God, I don't have a relationship with God, I don't have a future. When I die, I'm not going to spend eternity with God. I'm going to be separated from God for eternity. God, I need you. I want you. There's that sense of desperateness that draws me to want to give my life to Christ. Have you experienced that? Have you surrendered your life to Him? Do you know Him as your Savior and as your Lord? And if you've never made that initial surrender of your life, that's the greatest need in your life, in your heart, right this very minute. And I invite you, right where you are, if you would just, in the quietness of your heart, God, I give you my life. Lord, I don't guess I've ever realized how much I need you. Lord, I'm a sinner and I'm lost, and I want to know you as my Messiah. God, I give you my life. Would you forgive me of my sins? Would you come and live inside my heart? God, would you change me and make me into that person that you designed me to be? God, I'm giving you my life. I want to love you and serve you as long as I live. Father, thank you for loving me like you do. And if you prayed that prayer, well, I pray that you would, online right now, that you just respond. We've got people online that will respond to your post. If you would just let them know, just something simple. Hey, I prayed that prayer just now. And let them encourage you and give you some steps that you can take from here to begin to grow. For those of you who are believers, maybe you can go back in your life to a time when you really did. I know it was when I was 18, when I was first married. I know it was 6 months ago at work, wherever it was. You know that there's been that time where you entered into that full surrender of your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. But life happens. And you've let people, or you've let things, or you've let situations or hardship get in between you and your relationship to Christ. And all of a sudden you stop and you look, and there's not that intimacy and there's not that desperateness that you once had. And boy, today you're saying, God, that's what I need. I need to be back where I used to be. God, I need to recommit my life. God, I want to get back and live in that community of desperation for you every day. You can bow your head and voice a prayer in your heart and just tell Him exactly those things. Tell Him what separated you from Him and your relationship. Ask Him to deal with that. Ask Him to remove anything that's gotten in your way. Father, I pray this morning for the people that have listened. And God, I pray that, Lord, this is fit in with this whole concept of desperation that our country and that our world's in. We're in a health situation and a health desperation. But this morning, I pray that we can see that we need a spiritual desperation as well. And God, I pray for believers that have rededicated their lives this morning. Father, I pray that they're recommitting their lives to you. They're asking you to remove people, things, and events that have separated them, that have gotten in the way of their walk with you. God, I pray that you'd reestablish that passion, that love, that walk, that closeness, that sense of desperation in their lives. Father, I'm really excited, and I pray for the people that are listening and watching this morning that have never given you their life. And Father, I pray that today would be the day that they would say, God, I surrender my life to you. Thank you for loving me. God, I give you my life. Would you come and live inside of me? Would you forgive me of all my sins? God, would you change me and make me just like you. Would you make me your child? And God, I want to serve you for the rest of my life. Lord, do something in our lives during this time of desperation. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for worshiping with us this morning. It's been great to be with you. We'll update you. I'll remind you again, we'll update you on Friday as to what will be the plans for next Sunday and the activities for the following week. Have a great week.